Well, good evening, everybody, and happy third Sunday of Easter. I don't know about you, but these weeks are going by really, really fast. Right, every week, like it seems like Friday just slaps me right in the face, right? Which is nice, because Fridays are nice, right? So I get there really quickly, but that's how time operates, right? So there's a lot of things that are fast approaching. You have finals, and I know some of you are already freaking out about that. You have graduation, right? A lot going on there. Summer plans, summer jobs, other good things. Right, but not to be a downer, but I had a priest in seminary say to me once, so you study 1 year, and then another, and then another, and then another, and then you get ordained, and then what? And then what? And then you die. And I was like, oh, thanks, Father. Like, that makes my seminary experience great, you know. But it's also pretty striking when we think about how we're always longing for eternity, right? Our hearts are never full here on earth. And yet the moment that we're in right now, in our minds, it doesn't seem to ever apply, right? We never really take in the moment, right? It's always the next thing. And then if we get there, it's always the thing after that. What a strange thing that we do to attempt to be secure or to obtain something or to be validated in some way. What a weird thing. And in that, we miss so much of God's presence, His action, His love in these moments because we're so focused on ourselves and on the future. It's almost like we compartmentalize God when our mind's like this, to only being present when we show up for Him. That's where He's at, right? Quick break, though, like, why am I saying all this? All right, I'm doing this as an attempt to plant a seed in your minds and hearts so that you don't exchange the love of God for that which isn't real, for that which doesn't exist yet, for worldly success and achievement. And I'm doing this specifically with everything that I mentioned, finals, graduation, summer, the next thing in your purview, right? But I'm going to use academics as sort of a primary example, because that's why you're here, right? You're here to study, right? No one would pay to come party, right? Beer's cheaper without the academic side, right? But if only one of you, like, takes me seriously in what I'm saying, I'm happy with that. So just listen. Because I've noticed, like, all year, whenever a test or a midterm or a final comes up, the level of anxiety shoots through the roof. Right? And then this place, this chapel, becomes emptier. Maybe for a week, a few days, maybe. And there are a few who stick around who probably aren't studying, maybe when they should be, right? But it becomes emptier. And that just kills me to see in you. That kills me, right? Okay, so before I get into this, though, a couple of caveats for my observation, right? So one, while I enjoy thoroughly not having to do any schoolwork, no one can say that my observations are a result of not understanding what's happening in your lives. Right? You can't say to me that because I'm not in your shoes, that I don't know what I'm talking about. Because I do. I've been there. And I also did 8 more years of school after what you guys are doing. Right? 3 times what you've done. So don't give me that. 2, I respect hard work. That's not an issue. But I do think there's a difference between balanced hard work and obsessive self-promotion. I recently saw a clip of a podcast where this doctor was talking about his life, his achievements. And he said, actually really strikingly, he said, if I could do my life over, I wouldn't do it the way that I did it. He said that he was always working more and more to achieve more and more as a doctor so that he could, and I quote, justify his existence in this world. And let me repeat that. He did all of this so he could justify his existence in this world. And it wasn't until he was old, because he was an old man, right, that he realized that that mindset, which took so much time from him, was a result of the woundedness that he operated out of. It had to do with his family. And brothers and sisters, I'm willing to bet that some of us here operate out of a similar wound. Because I see it clearly. We believe that our dignity, that our worth, our goodness is dependent upon our grades, our internships, our awards for excellence. And in that mindset, we try to show the world how excellent, capable, and successful we are. All right? You guys are 18 to 22. The reality is that you're probably exceptional. You're probably really capable. And you will be successful to some extent, right? Some of you more than others. I guess depending on how you gauge that. Success isn't necessarily monetary or accolade, right? But what I do see in this mindset is a tendency to grasp onto those things so as, if you were to lose them, you would lose the entirety of yourself. That's just not true. Right? And this disordered way of thinking doesn't strictly concern academics, right? It can be any identifiable thing that we've placed upon ourselves or that we do, right? Athletics, musical talent, money, relationships, being funny, right? Being the party animal, anything, right? Really anything that we're attaching our identity to so that we're seen and known, so that we can validate being alive, so that we can justify our existence. But the problem with a false identity is that it covers up who we actually are. It covers our woundedness so that it can't heal, right? And it doesn't allow us to accept ourselves as we are. It makes us think we're something else, right? And ultimately, it causes us to live in a sort of virtual reality. And it's at that exact juncture that we waste precious time and miss the things that really matter in this life. So what then actually justifies your existence? What justifies the fact that you're here right now? The singular thing that justifies your existence is God's absolute and eternal love for you. That's it. So what then is your real identity? Your identity is a beloved son or a daughter. One that doesn't need to be something other than what they are in order to be loved infinitely. In fact, God, who is spirit, loved you in particular so much that he became just like you so that he could know you. He became human. And so that you could receive him and be like him. Isn't that exactly what we see in the gospel today? Christ appears to his apostles after his passion and death and proves to them that yes, he's real. And he even eats some fish to show that he is indeed incarnate, right? But brothers and sisters, he also shows his wounds, which heal our wounds because of love. And he does this to show them that his love for them is real, and that his love for us is real. It's real. But how often do we act like the apostles? We're terrified of being loved for who we actually are. We're terrified of what's underneath everything. We often say what Peter said when he was on the boat, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Because we know that within our fallen nature and within our sinfulness, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of regret, and there's a lot of stuff that we just don't want to face up to because it hurts. And so we clutch on to a false identity in fear that we might be found out. But that's not what Christ desires from us. He desires us, the real us, that thing that you don't want to go to. He wants that. He wants every bit of you in its messiness, in whatever it is. And it is that love that desires our true heart so deeply that allows us to identify with him as God. That love. Not what you've made up. Not what you cover yourself with. That love. That's the love that justifies our existence. So my brothers and sisters, especially in this time, put aside any false identity that you're wearing. Allow the Lord to see the real you. It's not like he doesn't know, but he gives you the freedom to actually give that to him. And then allow him to show you his wounds. His wounds that prove to your heart that he loves you. Sure, work hard at whatever you're doing. Finals, sports, career, whatever. But don't ever hold so tightly to those things that you forget who you are, that you forget your true identity, that you miss the fact that you're loved for who you are as you are. Because it's only from that place, the reality of our heart, that we grow in holiness.